Blessings to the kids, blessings to the teachers, the nursery workers. We thank you for all that you do. If you haven't picked it up by now, sometimes the hardest transitions for me in the context of the worship service are from there to right here. Because what happens is, as I've kind of shared with you before, like God really ministers to me through the songs. And what just happened right there like was like 20 years of flashback, because that song I sang right after I gave my heart to Christ. And I was on a young adult's retreat, and we went away to this retreat in the woods, and I remember it was one of the first encounters I had with Christ in a very real way, to have this heart cry rise up in me to say, yeah, Lord, I want to know you more. Like, so much about you puzzles me, I have to say, but I want to know you more. And I remember crying out to him that way. And so anyway, this isn't my testimony time, but let me tell you, in that moment, like hearing that song, it was like a quick flash of like a little over 20 years. I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. So praise the Lord, right? Not perfect, but man, God is just really, you know, showed me so much about himself and about myself and my need for him. So let's pray. Father, thank you for being in our midst, Lord, as we are. We know that you always are. And God, just continually give us hearts to hear, ears to hear, and hearts to obey, and eyes to see what you want to say to us, Lord God. And remove all distractions, even from myself, Lord. And may we just ponder your goodness now as we hear from your word. I just trust your Holy Spirit will teach us in some way to hold on to something, Lord, that would be bring about a life change for us, Lord. So we want hearts that know you more and love you more. In your name, Jesus, amen. So this morning, in preparing for this message, there's just been this theme of 1 John on my heart over the last week. So we're just going to read from that to get us started. 1 John 1, verses 1 to 4. What was from the beginning, we have heard. What we have seen with our eyes, what we have beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. I'm going to continue on a little bit to verse 10, because really, 1 John chapter 1 is only 10 verses, so you could read that pretty easily. But I just wanted to just quickly summarize the first four. The Apostle John is clearly giving a testimony of the truth of Jesus, that Jesus was who he said he was, the Son of God. He's described right here as the Word of Life. And he came that we could have fellowship with God and with one another. Fellowship with God, meaning the Father, the Son, the Spirit. And it's interesting is that John is basically saying what he's seen the Lord. He's heard. You know, he's a first-hand witness. He's a first-hand witness to knowing Jesus. He knew Jesus personally and intimately. That's why he could write these things, and that's why we're going there. And he's written a specific message that Jesus wanted to share with us. It's about salvation, about eternal life, and God's desire for relationship with each and every one of us. And there's that word fellowship again, which was in another passage not too long ago, which means like a shared intimacy or communion or participation or unity. So this fellowship with God, that's what it means, right? Being in union with God, being, you know, sharing in a relationship with him. So let's continue. 1 John 1, 5 to 10. And this is the message we heard from him, Jesus, and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Obviously, it's a sobering passage. So here I am in 1 John, just chewing on some of this stuff. And, you know I just glanced over the first four chapters. I'm not always the best with the expository, but just did a little summary. That was my attempt, if those are taking note. But I really wanted to focus a little more on verses 5 to 10. It's just interesting because Jesus was basically communicating. He says, we have this message that we've heard from him. He's talking about Jesus, that God is light. There's absolutely no darkness in him. So understand, this is who we're talking about. God is light. What does it mean then? What does it mean? It means he's holy. It means he's just. It means he's perfect. It means he is the truth. These are all references. To say that God is light is reference to his character, his very nature. And in this example, in this analogy, light represents his holiness, as we said. Darkness represents what? Sin, impurity. And the two cannot coexist. The two cannot coexist. Like maybe the Sunday school object lesson, some of you might be familiar about or remember when you were younger, or some of the youth here. Like oil, right? You pour into water, what happens? It's like incompatible, right? Like it doesn't, it can't work. It just floats. It just can't even get into the water, you know? It just floats there. So in the presence of God, sin cannot remain because he's holy, right? We know this about God. And as the song we sang before, we only can access him by his grace, right? Like our standing before him is only by what he has done, not by what we do. But it's interesting, verse 6, and this is maybe one of the verses that kind of jumped out at me that started this whole message. It says we can deceive ourselves when we're not walking in the light of his truth. We've heard the saying, practice makes perfect, right? You've heard that? Like practice makes perfect? A lot of truth in there. But although we're not perfect, even though as much as we practice and try, we're still not perfect, what happens though as we practice, we grow, we mature, you know, we become more like him, you know, as we apply his word to our lives. So, you know, that's a good thing. So living out his truth requires practice. That's why his word says practice the truth. That's what's meant by practicing the truth. Apply it, make it real to you, you know, like fate coming against a situation and then the Holy Spirit just bringing a truth to your mind. We could choose right there to heed what the Holy Spirit is saying, or we could, you know, resist and grieve his heart, you know? Anyway, practicing the truth, applying his word to our lives. This is how we grow. Ever enter into a room that's dark, right? Obviously, what happens when you turn the light on? Another object lesson, very simple, right? Like Sunday school lesson. Well, you can see everything. But in the darkness, your eyes try to adjust. You might see this dim outline of a desk or a file cabinet or a TV or something, but you kind of know something's there, but you can't see it clearly. Everything is vague. You know, nothing is clear. You know, and that's what happens when we allow the darkness in. You know, it diffuses, it hinders seeing with clarity the truth that God wants to declare over us and wants us to live out. So despite our attempts to adjust to the dark, meaning in the context of, let's say you walk into a dark room and your natural body, the way God made our eyes, like we'll try and adjust. Still, there's no way to just see anything clearly. It's not possible without the light, right? So we understand. That's like way basic stuff, right? But I just want us to understand the imagery. Like, it's just interesting. God's always intentional about how he chooses to describe himself for us being finite. Like, who could fully fathom and understand the depths and heart of God and his deity, his divine nature. So he gives us these simple ways to try and understand. So he's choosing light and darkness. He is light. There is no darkness in him. Let's start there. So everything that's required for us to see clearly is found in his word. Everything that's required for us to see clearly is found in his word. That's why he's saying he wants us to walk in the light, to practice the truth. So we're given a warning here. Don't let your eyes grow used to the darkness. Don't let your eyes grow used to the darkness. God wants us to see clearly. Why? Because our fellowship with him can be distorted when we allow the darkness of sin inside. And our fellowship with one another is also negatively affected when something's not right in our heart. So there's this theme in 1 John of fellowship with God, fellowship with one another. Let's look at verse 8. He says, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. It's a hard word, right? It's a really hard word. If we deny the reality of sin, if we deny the reality of sin in our life, or anyone, you know, chooses to deny the reality of sin, just saying, nah, like I'm good, you know, it's nothing, you know, I'm just not willing. I'm not willing to let out what's kind of been stirring inside that I know is, you know, a real darkness to me. Like, you wear the mask, you know, some people wear the mask and they never speak it out. They live in denial. God is saying we could easily deceive ourselves, and we better take a close look at our relationship with Christ. Amen. If we're living in him or not. You know, don't be confused. It's not to say, you know, not meant to scare anyone who is in Christ, right? Because we have the Holy Spirit to help us with that. But I'm talking about someone who's living outright defiance of saying, like, you know, there is no sin in me. There is no wrong in me. Like, the standard that God requires of me just, to me, does not exist. It doesn't mean it's not true, but some people live as though it does not exist. Well, God is saying, you're being deceived. You're being deceived. The truth is not in you. Amen. The truth is not in you. His truth illumines and makes clear the reality of the fact of what we sang before. It's only by his grace that we could stand before a holy God, right? So, excuse me. I hope it's not too loud for anyone. God's word is so encouraging, though, to us in 1 John 1:9, and this is another great passage. You know, I hope it's a life verse for many of us, too. We talk about holding on to life verses. Listen to what it says in the next verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is such a beautiful promise. And I don't know about you, but plenty times in my walk with Christ, I had to hold so close to this promise because it's not easy to believe sometimes that God could really forgive me. You know, it's not easy to believe sometimes that his grace really is sufficient, you know, and that the sacrifice of Jesus was enough. You know, it's not to say that, you know, he doesn't want us to, you know, move beyond our sin struggles, right? Because always he's taking us nearer to him, and that involves growth and maturing. But surely acknowledging and confessing our sin is an indicator of the fact that we have the truth of God in us. And we could take comfort in that. Why? It's proof. It's proof of his Holy Spirit in us. One of the Holy Spirit's functions is to convict of sin. You know, as the helper, that's one of the ways he helps us. He puts a check in our. He puts a check in us. Gives us that red alert. You know, we see the red light going off, or maybe your heart starts pounding all of a sudden. You know, well, there's this tension now. There's this real tension for the child of God, you know, who has the Spirit of God in them. It's not so easy to sin anymore because now the Spirit of God is in you. The truth is in you. So whereas one time it was easy, now in Christ, it's not so easy, you know. So that's just part of the role of the Holy Spirit in us. So the point is, take comfort in that. Take encouragement in that. The Holy Spirit's trying to bring sin to our attention when we find ourselves dabbling in it or getting too close to it. And the Bible describes, for example, right, there's a conflict that takes place between the flesh and the spirit. You know, the natural and the spiritual. Like the natural part of us in the body, you know, that still struggles And yet the Spirit of God, there's this tension. So regarding this tension, thinking of my testimony, thinking of my story, that really was the reality for me. You know, there was a time when I lived as my own God and thought that there was no God, you know, and the whole concept of sin just didn't even exist to me. But everything changed. Everything changed when I humbled myself, when I got nowhere and humbled myself before Him and found myself crying out for His mercy and His grace. You know, He put His Spirit in me. And then all of a sudden, little by little, real change started to happen over time. You know, of the darkness that I allowed in for so many years. So the whole point of this is that let this be a reassurance to you, not to question, because God is saying, yeah, some people can be deceived if they're even in the truth, if they're even in Christ or not. But if you can relate with this tension, if you can relate with some of these things that I just shared, you know, God is encouraging us to be encouraged that it's proof that we're born of the Spirit. We're born of the Spirit. It's evidence that we do know Him, that He's put His truth in us. Romans 8:16. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. He doesn't want us to question, right? In the context of that, if you read around Romans 8, like maybe 14, 15, 17, right around there, talks about crying out to God, Abba Father, right? It's a very, another personal language and way to describe, like saying, calling God our dad, our daddy, right? That's kind of how it's like translated. So we have this relationship with God, and the Spirit of God confirms that for us. But regarding this confessing sin theme, which is obviously what 1 John 1:9 is bringing us to, I thought of King David. Real quick, listen to this. Psalm 32. Listen to the tension that King David describes. This is after he committed adultery with Bathsheba and a whole other slew of things. There's a murder involved. Psalm 32, verses 3 and 5. He says this. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Such a beautiful passage. Very honest prayer from King David. Right? Again, a ruler of thousands, you know, raised up to such a high place in the kingdom of Israel. And yet, when he sinned, you know, God's hand was heavy upon him. He kept silent. That was the problem. That was the problem. Scripture doesn't say how long he kept silent for, but praise the Lord for Psalm 32. Praise the Lord for keeping his diary, for God inspiring him to write this word for you and me today, because the reality is he's talking about walking in the light. He's talking about confessing sin and the lift and the weight that results from doing so. You know, so again, this is a very personal prayer, you know, and this should be a personal prayer for us. And, you know, again, it's an encouragement. So in Christ, we have the Holy Spirit the same way, the Holy Spirit, He won't let us go. He'll let us know when the little darkness got in, right? It's incompatible. You know, God wants His light to overpower the darkness. And there was that, picture early on, like in that background, right? You saw all the light of creation and the tree and the grass and the sun on this side. And over here, it was like the darkness. It's kind of just like this image. I see the rising of the sun, right, coming over. And you just see all the darkness just dissipate. You know, just dissipate. That's what Jesus wants to do in us. You know, yeah, we're not perfect. I get it. Right. That's not what I'm saying. But surely God is calling us to move forward and higher and nearer to what He's after. All of us. Surrendered hearts. Changed hearts, where His light is more and more transforming us and eradicating the darkness from decades ago. Maybe it's decades ago. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. I sang that song. It was like 20 years just flashed before my eyes. 20 years in that Knowing You song. Like just flashed before my eyes. Like, wow. That knowing you, Jesus, saying that prayer, humbling myself in repentance and faith was the entry, was the beginning, you know? And the whole 20 years was a continued process of growing more and more in my relationship with Him and being changed in the process. So that's what God wants for every one of His children. He doesn't want to just leave you on the sidelines. He doesn't want to leave you in the darkness. No. He's telling us and instructing us to practice this, to practice this word, to apply this word to us and rely on the Holy Spirit to help us, right? Because we can't do it alone. But we do have a part. We always have a part. So there's no harmony. There's no fellowship between light and darkness. And I believe that's why God is speaking to us in 1 John. The light of Christ is in you. The light of Christ is in you if you believe in Him. That's why it's not easy to sin anymore. Listen to 1 John 1:5, which we already read. God is light, and in Him there's no darkness at all. So we need to understand, be reminded of His holiness. And also His call to live out a practical holiness, you know, unto Christ. Because He lives in us. That's the game changer. He's put His light in us. We're not the same anymore. He doesn't want us to be the same anymore. Because we're not. It's not our identity. So living out His truth involves applying it, practicing it. And it also involves acknowledging and confessing our sin. Which that's why I just find so interesting after this whole theme that God drops verse 9 in there about confessing our sin. You know, it's like, huh, guess that's a clue. Guess that's a clue to continually walking and having fellowship with You. You know what I mean? Because sin does interfere. Like, we know it. You know, we know it. When we blow it, like somehow something goes really wrong, you know, in our day, in our relationship with God, and we feel like there's a distancing that takes place. There's a distancing. We feel it. Doesn't mean it's not reality because God is in us. You know, I'm not saying that. But again, that's the fellowship part. That's the active relational part of our relationship with God that He wants from us. That's what gets interfered with. So we need to be cleansed. There's an interesting connection I found between fellowship with God, walking in the light, practicing His truth, and being cleansed by the blood of Jesus. God desires for us to see how much we've been forgiven. How much we've been forgiven. And to truly grasp the depth of His love, of His grace, of His mercy. And this moves us into personal fellowship and deeper relationship with Him. And that's always what He's after. That's always what He's after. So how do we know if we're in fellowship with God? Kind of already touched on it already. But let's just jump ahead a minute to 1 John 2. 1 John 2:3 says this. By this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. Interesting. So the clue in answering this question regarding having, you know, fellowship with God is whether or not we are choosing to follow Him and live by what His word teaches. You know, do you see His word? Just ask yourself, do I see His word as the standard? You know, do I see as His word as the standard? You know, again, yeah, we're real. We fall short, right? And I believe God is saying, it's okay. It's okay. He knows we're not perfect. But at the same time, He still raises the bar, right? Because He has a purpose for every one of us. And when that darkness is lingering, we miss out. We miss out on what He does want to do in and through us sometimes. You know what I mean? So God desires us to know how much we've been forgiven and to really value this relationship with Him, to know that He's after this, after our hearts. John 14:15. Remember when Jesus said this, "If you love Me, you will keep My commandments." I won't go into it now, but for so long, that verse like puzzled me. And I really wrestled with that verse. Because like on the one hand, it's like, well, you know, is it really just all the doing, God? Like, is it just the works-based thing? Because some people try and be very religious in that sense, like we've already talked about, without the relationship with Christ, they just try and be very religious. You know, some religions today are all about, yeah, keeping the laws of all the, you know, gazillion laws and things and the things you got to do. But they still miss God's heart. They still miss God's heart. So somewhere there's this balance. And so I feel like God is saying that this passage, he's come to help me realize that actually, the more we love Jesus, the easier it is to desire to keep his commandments. You know, and it comes more easily. At least start there with a humble heart that's willing. You know, yeah, we fall, he lifts us back up, we confess our sin, but at least we know, Jesus, like, I want to run after you alone out of a great love for you because of what you've done for me. You know, and as we do that, as we grow in that love, this is really the argument, I'd say. This is really the argument. As we grow in this love, this first love for Christ, you know, the first commandment, right? Keep that first. As we focus there, sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to his every word, continually pursuing him, spending time with him, seeking him, keeping his commandments will just become the outflow, or the outflow. Let me get my emotion better. The outflow. Trust me, none of this is choreographed. I'm just being really weird. Natural. It'll become natural. The outflow, right? He who's forgiven much loves much. As we love much, we desire and we want to keep his commandments. We try. We say, Holy Spirit, help me. I'm really weak in this area. Help me, please. Cry out to him. It's okay. It's okay. Do that. Really, do that. God will answer. So in a relational sense, right, Jesus is saying, if you love me, right, we've already talked about God desires this, us to personally know him, not just the head knowledge, but with our whole being, to love him, to know him. Think about any relationship now. If you know and love someone, what's your desire for that person? Is it not to please them? Is it not to understand what makes them tick, or what does it for them, right? Oh yeah, like, oh, like, no, he doesn't like it like that. I think I want to help him with this because I know his heart, and I want to help support him in this. Or think of a relationship that you have with someone you love, your kids, whatever it might be, right? You love your kids. You want to make them happy. Sometimes we can't, but we'd want to make them happy. Well, it's the same with loving Jesus and knowing him. The more we know him, the more we love him, we'll seek to honor and obey him, and to walk in his ways. That's why my heart, and I see from God's word, is to lean towards starting with that love first. You know, because as we grow in our love for him, the rest of it, again, it just becomes natural. So I thought to ask ourselves, do I honestly please God? Do I have a heart? Do I have a desire? Do I think about this? Do I honestly have a desire to please God? If so, the choices that we make will reflect that desire. And then we ask, are we willing to come to him? Am I willing to turn from my sin? Am I willing to say yes to his holiness? The reality is many are not willing, and they want to hold on to the darkness. And such were so many of us, right? Think of your story. You know, I'm thinking of my story. Like, for so long, I wanted to hold on to it. I wanted to hold on to it so bad. I did not want to let it go. So many things I did not want to let go. Meanwhile, it was like a poison to me. And you know what I'm talking about. It just killed you inside. Killed you inside. Jesus saying, let it go. Let it go. Humble yourself and let it go. 1 John 2:4. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Just a hard word from the Lord. You know, just a hard word from the Lord. God is apparently saying to us, we can be deceived. We can be deceived. But we can't deceive him. We can't deceive him. And it won't matter what someone thinks or assumes about if they know God or not. Right? Many people live that way. You know? Like, I love God through a tree. I love God through a rock. Or I love God through the statue. Like, what does it mean? What does it mean? So whatever a person thinks does not matter. It doesn't matter. It's not determined by what we think. It's only what can only determine our standing before God is what His Word tells us. His Word is clear that it's only by the righteousness of Christ, through His shed blood for us, by placing our trust in Him, receiving by faith the gift of salvation. Again, that's the beginning. That's the beginning. That's how we know that we are in Him. I love how Jesus is described as the Word of Life. That was verse 1 of 1 John. If He's dwelling inside of us, then it all comes down to this. Are we feeding on His Word? You know, are we feeding on His Word? Are we allowing His truth to change, cleanse, and transform our life? Out of a love for Him, will we choose to walk in the light as He is in the light? With no secrets, no masks. You know, that's always where the tension is. Oftentimes, I just let it out. Some of the greatest breakthroughs for me, let me tell you, and I keep saying it's not about my testimony, was to just speak it out. Find someone you trust. You know, be discerning. You know, we want to encourage this here, but be discerning. Be discerning. If you feel really like you're wrestling with something, and you know, a little bit too much something got inside of you, and you're being silent for a little too long, and you feel God's hand, you know, day and night being heavy on you, you know, and you're feeling your strength being wasted away, you know, there's this groaning deep inside of you because it's all just kept inside. It's kept hush hush. Somehow, first bring it to the Lord. I'm also saying, too, there's a value in confessing our sin to one another, as God's Word also teaches, that when we let it out, there's a release. You know, God brings His healing. Because now it's brought out of the darkness into the light. And then God could work there. God can't work if it's just kept inside. Bring it outside and He'll do a lot of work to heal it. To heal it. Amen. So the fact is, living in the light of His truth and keeping His Word, this is a testimony and a witness of the love of God taking root inside of us. Taking root. Again, we're encouraged with these things. We don't need to be confused. We're encouraged. Because from that love and out of that love grows a desire to please Him in all we do. 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Burdensome. I know if we're really honest, sometimes God's telling us something to do, and we know it, it becomes burdensome because we don't want to, we feel this, again, that tension of not doing what He says. But as the love of God is planted and taking root in us, and we're growing in His Word, we're applying His Word to us, and we're growing in our love for Jesus, the reality is, as His Word is saying, His commandments will not be burdensome. We'll see them as a safeguard. To us. He wants to show His goodness in and through our life. You know, it's not like this legalistic thing. You know, God wants us to live in a real freedom. A real freedom that could be found in Him. You know, but we have to be willing to deal with our sin when it happens. We have to deal with it right away. Because God is after our hearts. Pure hearts. Genuine hearts. That's His standard. That's His standard. And we miss it sometimes, yes. But remember, we're still in process. And I just love how 1 John 1:9 is right where it is. Because it's obviously dealing with the reality of sin in the life of a believer. In the life of a believer. Because 1 John 1, you know, this whole context here is talking about a believer. You know, believers. So this is our promise. And as we're looking at it here, that's our part. That's our part in walking in the light, taking seriously our sin, you know, bringing it before Him. But what happens if we allow unconfessed sin to linger? The darkness, right? It creates interference, as we said. It hinders our fellowship with God. It inevitably affects our relationship with other people, even in the church, right? Sometimes someone might come across offensive or say something, right? And it's like, on the one hand, you want to have compassion because you're just like, oh man, where did that come from? What's going on inside of you? My heart breaks for you. What happened? Where is this coming from? You know what I mean? There's something that's not right. You know what I mean? There's something that you haven't let out yet. You know, at least consider that sometimes the offenses that we deal with, even in the context of church, we don't always know. We don't always know what someone even here went through. You know what I mean? And where they're hurting. But God wants us to be in harmony with one another, to have fellowship with one another. So if we discern and we pick up that something's not right, you know, like, it's okay to, in love, confront that person. You know, don't do it to, like, everyone. Just go, you know, and by the way, it's already happened here. Like, I've seen it happen in a really good way, and I don't want to point anyone out. But I've been very encouraged by a couple people who have really went one-to-one with the person, following, like, you know, this principle. Like, we want to walk in the light. We want to have fellowship with one another. We want to live in the light. So if there's something that's misconstrued or misunderstood, we should always just be going to that person and say, hey, like, I heard this. Like, are you okay, brother? Are you okay? You know what I mean? Like, check in on them. Sister, check in on them. You know, don't start assuming things, because it might not even be factual, you know? And there's real hurts. And sometimes someone's not so quick to let something out. Well, we could be patient with them. We could be patient with them. But ultimately, God wants us to come to the place where we can let it out in a safe way, in a discerning way. So we have this tendency to keep sin to ourselves, right? And we thought of this example. Ever mess up as a kid, like when you were younger? And you thought, like, oh man, like my mom or my dad, my grandmother, my grandfather is going to kill me. Going to kill me. Maybe not literally, hopefully not literally. But the reason we responded that way when we knew we did something wrong was because we feared their response. We feared the potential or the likelihood of punishment of some kind, right? And then what happened? That kept us maybe running in the other direction, right? Trying to then wear that mask or trying to play it off like, like, you know, nothing happened or whatever. Or then obviously we're tempted to lie, and then that whole thing snowballs. We know how that goes. Well, this actually happened to us recently in our family. Our beloved children, who I know you all think are so perfect. So perfect. Because now they're the pastor's kid, right? Well, one of them, as beloved as they are, attempted to hide something from us that they knew was wrong. And instead of coming to us right away, they tried to fix the problem on their own. Or really, tried to cover up the problem on their own. Look at Steve pointing to Daniel. Check you out, man. The child is nameless. They are beloved. But they make some really big mistakes. So when the truth was finally revealed, after some investigation, right, honey? Like a little investigation. When the truth finally came out, then they said to us, and we asked them, why didn't you just come to us? Like, come on, like, why didn't you come to us? Don't you know we love and, like, what do you fear from us? Like, do we whip you? Do we beat you? Like, no. So still, their response was fear. Fear of our response. Fear of not pleasing us. Fear of knowing that we wouldn't have been happy with what they did. So as parents, and now, again, it was mind-boggling to us because it's such a challenge. If you're a parent, you understand. Like, it's not easy to try and, you know, love your kids and as the way Christ is calling us to, you know, in His Word, and to really be patient with them. And yeah, we overlook lots of offenses too. You know, we have to model what God is saying. Overlook an offense. Many things with our kids, they hurt us, you know. But then so many times they're a joy, you know. So much is a joy about them, you know, that we treasure, you know, because they're a gift from God. Anyway, the kids that are present here, please know that, because I do realize two of my kids are listening. So, But it's not easy, is the point. So Beth and I are often in this place of really asking God, like, man, when these dilemmas come up of parenting, like, what do we do? Because it seems so unfounded. It seems so unfounded to us that they wouldn't just come to us. Because we love them greatly, you know, and we always want what's best for them. We're for them. We want to help them fix the problem, and we wish that they understood that. All that commentary, which just left my mouth dry, excuse me. This is all so most importantly true for our Heavenly Father. Think about that. Think about that. He desires us, His kids, right? Think of yourself, right? Just be real about this. Just think about yourself as God's kid. God's kid, right? And when you blow it, when I blow it, we mess it up. We understand now, as we're talking about, this tendency to hide from Him, to run from Him. But the very opposite is true of what He desires for us in that moment. He just wants us to come to Him. He just wants us to come to Him. And the problem right here, and this is a whole other thing, but Satan tries to keep us from coming to Him. And that's the difference between the Holy Spirit convicting us of sin. The Holy Spirit will always draw us back to God. Draw us out, maybe crawling, kicking, and screaming in the church, or a Wednesday night, or a small group, or to open His Word. But the Holy Spirit will lead us into prayer, lead us onto our knees. But the enemy, he wants to condemn us. He wants to make us feel guilty. He wants to make us feel shame. So much so that he wants to drive us away from reaching, going back to the light. He wants to keep us going more and more into the darkness. And he uses condemnation to do that. Anyway, just know that God's heart for all of us is that when we blow it, yeah, we grieve His heart. All right? Let's be really sad about that. Seriously. Let's be sad about our sin. Let's take serious our sin. But in the same way, it's a good thing to come to God with it. It's a good thing to come to God with it. We have to receive. It's the only time that we can receive and see His goodness, His love, His mercy, and His compassion. You know, He doesn't want us to run from Him anymore. It's over. Let it be done. Like, let it stop. Whatever it is. It's going on for too long. Just like I understand in my story, things were going on for too long. And it destroyed me inside. There's like this inner torment that was going on. Like King David, right? His vitality, his strength was just sapped away. You know, it's like you even lose a sense of existence. You know, and to consider, anyway, I don't want to keep hitting this point, but seriously, just take seriously our sin, you know? God wants us to bring our weaknesses to Him, and He's given us a solution. You know, Jesus is the remedy. Jesus is the remedy. And whatever imperfect examples we may or may not have had of parents or a parent or a guardian growing up, just know that only God is faithful, only God is true, only He is the perfect Father, you know, and sometimes it's hard to see that, but this is our God, this is who He is. We don't have to fear coming to Him. His Word says we can approach boldly and confidently His throne. I mean, come on. The throne of God, the throne of the Creator, for us to understand His throne, we see a throne of grace. It's described as a throne of grace. He says, come boldly before the throne of grace so that we may receive help and mercy in our time of need. So don't ever be deceived on this point. Don't ever be confused on this point. Whatever it is that occurs or happens, always bring it before the Lord. 1 John 2:1-2. My little children, I am writing to you these things. Why? So that you may not sin. If anyone sins, though, we have an advocate. Praise the Lord. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And He Himself is the propitiation. Big word, right? Or the atoning sacrifice in the NIV. He Himself is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also the whole world. So clearly right here, God is laying out the standard. The goal is not to sin. Yeah, because He's a holy God. Yeah, that's the standard. But if and when we do sin, Jesus is described as our advocate before God. Because we're cleansed and washed in His blood. He paid the satisfaction for our sins on the cross. It's His righteousness, not ours. We have His forgiveness. We have His grace. We've received it all. Yet, obviously, He's calling us not to live continuously in any form of habitual sin. He is raising the bar. He wants us to bring it before Him. 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness, cleanses us from all sin. I got stuck on the word cleanses. The verb cleanses is actually used in the present tense. So there's a once and for all sacrifice of Jesus, right? Like, as far as the east is from the west, praise the Lord. So has He removed our sins from us, praise God. We now have this right standing before Him. We're covered in His blood. And now, clearly His word is speaking to believers in the practical sense of living out our salvation, of living out, you know, practically our righteousness before Him. We're still dealing with the reality of sin. So it's in the present tense of being cleansed. It implies that we're a work in progress. We're not fully there yet. We are being cleansed as we walk in the light and as we rely on the Holy Spirit to form the life of Christ in us. Again, think process. So if we've messed up at some point, always remember our part. Our part is in coming to Him, not running from the Heavenly Father, not trying to cover it up like these things that we do, like just having short accounts with God, I think, is the main thing. Having short accounts with God is the main thing. Knowing that He wants us to walk in His truth again so that we can live out His purpose for us and not be sidelined. Not be sidelined. Time's wasting. You know, time, we don't get the time back. You know, and in a lot of ways, that's what happens when you have that flashback moment in your life and you think, whoa, 20 years, 10 years, 30 years. You know, we don't get it back. So it's like, what am I doing? What am I doing? I've had these honest moments with the Lord to really question. I want to live in His purpose. The last verse I'm going to focus on here is 1 John 2, verses 5 and 6. Whoever keeps His word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected or completed. By this we know that we are in Him. The one who abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner in which He walked. Our obedience to God's word is a mark of our relationship with Him. So how do we know if we know Him, if we have fellowship with Him? Is His love being perfected and completed in us? Do we have a desire to please Him? Do we identify with that tension of sin? And it's not so easy, you know, because like now it kind of stays with us. These are all clues that God has put His truth in you. Be encouraged. And as much as we come to know Jesus and we know Him more, we will walk as He walked. We will start doing as He did. And this involves relying on His Spirit. And His Spirit helps us overcome the darkness that tries to creep in. The darkness tries to creep in. And His Spirit helps us keep Christ's command out of a love for Him, to please Him. So to sum it up, just on some of these points with 1 John 1, basically, mainly, God's will for us is this: to walk in the light, have fellowship with Him, to know Him personally in relationship on the grounds of Christ's righteousness through faith and trust in Him. And to also have fellowship with one another. God's will is also that we confess our sin and deal with it right away. Right away. So that we can continuously live in the light and not give the enemy a foothold, not give the enemy a stronghold in our heart. And God wants us to build on His truth, to practice His truth, to grow in His truth, so that the word of Christ would dwell in us richly, that we can walk as He walked and do the will of the Father. This is His heart for His church. This is His heart for us individually. And I know in a lot of ways, whenever there's a message with a lot of sin and confess and all these things, just know that God wants us to deal with these things so that we can receive and discover more of Him. You know, that knowing relationship, nothing compares to it. He doesn't want anything to interfere. And to consider that there's so much more that He has for every one of you. So please stand with me for our closing prayer. Lord God, I just ask that You would help us walk in the light as You are in the light. Lord, continue to teach us what this means. Lord, continue to draw us to Your Word, that we'd have a greater glimpse of Your glory, of Your beauty, Lord, of Your truth, and that we would be changed by Your grace, Lord, not take it for granted, Lord, but that we'd be changed by it. And I think of the psalmist, Lord, and Lord, when the prayer, when he prayed, search our hearts, O God. See if there be any hurtful, wicked way in me. See if there be any anxious thought within me. God, I want to turn from those things. God, we want to turn from those things. And we pray that You would lead us in the way of everlasting, Lord. That You would lead us in Your truth. God, the days are too intense, Lord, to be on the sidelines and to flip-flop. God, you want us to be warriors for You and to see ourselves as part of Your team, part of the battle, Lord, part of Your people who are called to be children of light. Lord, to overpower the darkness, Lord, and to represent You. So Holy Spirit, would You just encourage Your people this morning? Encourage each of us, Lord. I know in some ways this can seem like a hard word. But Lord, would You just now take it, God, beyond anything that I have shared, Lord. God, we just trust that Your Holy Spirit would now take it and let it soak in deep and bring comfort to Your people this morning and this week, God, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.